The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrative health expert, here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com, peaksofhealth.com.
It's that time again, the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Hope you all had a fantastic week and you're having a great weekend. And thank you for joining us today. Make sure to, as I always tell you when we start the show, make sure to check out the website because there's some great information throughout the show. If you want to listen while you're on the website, always a great tool to have by your side, peaksofhealth.com. That's the website, peaksofhealth.com. Go ahead later. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. Write that number down. Keep it in your pocket, 727-826-0838, because as you hear when you come join us every week, Dr. Tracy, she's a friend. She's just giving you information and just helping you if you have a problem, or maybe you don't have a problem and you hear something that relates to you on the radio. You definitely can should check out their website or give them a call. She treats hormone therapy, diabetes, which we'll be getting into today, weight loss, chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases, so much more. Check out their website. And like I said, today, Dr. Tracy, the conversation's about diabetes, which is something very close to you.
Yeah, this is very close to me. Because, you know, my lifestyle when I was in the emergency room, because I was an ER doctor for 18 years under the stress and the poor eating habits and the working night shifts and not getting sleep and probably consuming humongous amounts of caffeine at that time, I actually became diabetic. And, you know, and it was very quickly, you know, very surprisingly, because, you know, in November when I had my sugar checked, it was completely normal. I woke up one morning and I just could not drink enough water to save my life. And I went into the emergency room and had it checked when I went to work and I was 187, you know. So it was almost like an overnight sensation that I just kind of flipped the switch.
How long had you had diabetes for before you were diagnosed?
Actually, the month before, I was not diabetic.
Wow.
It was just an instantaneous thing.
Like you said, fast.
Now, going back and looking at my records, I can see that for the prior, you know, 7 to 8 years, there were signs in my blood work that would show it, but nobody ever pointed them out. I didn't realize it because I didn't, you know, being an ER physician, I treat the diabetic ketoacidosis. I treat when the sugars are super high or super low. In between, I didn't treat diabetes.
And I think that's an important conversation to get into today is the signs. What are the signs? Because you may – this is conversation is not just for diabetics who can go out and get help. This is for people who also do not have diabetes right now or they don't know about it and the signs you should look for. What are the first signs?
Well, again, feeling more tired, getting very sluggish and tired and foggy thinking after you eat a high sugar meal. You know, feeling like you just have to hit the couch and go to sleep. You know, that's a really significant sign. I was getting a little bit of numbness in my toes when I was working out all the time, you know, and I wasn't thinking much of it, thinking, you know, my shoes were too tight or something was going on. And that is called diabetic neuropathy, where the nerves aren't working as well. And that might have been when my sugars were spiking and I wasn't aware of it because my labs were looking good, you know, but I was getting very, very tired, very irritable, very fatigued a lot. And I was gaining weight.
Now, the food coma, we all know this is a food coma. I just think that's a regular part of eating, but you shouldn't feel that way after every meal.
No, actually, you know, when you ingest sugar, if your body's working completely correctly, you should be able to turn around and process that sugar and get it into the cells within 30 to 40 minutes. You know, so your sugar should normalize within less than 2 hours, usually an hour after you eat, you know, and it's a very tightly regulated system. But when it doesn't and it stays high up there, the brain operates off of sugar. So when that sugar starts spiking into the brain, it gets really overdone and it starts, you know, getting very fatigued and tired as that drops off.
All right. So I'm sure a lot of people are listening and alarms are going off in their head. That's me. That's me. Are there ways if you find out right now that you are diabetic? Obviously, it depends on what type of diabetes you have. But let's say you feel this way with your feet, the numbness of your feet, the lethargic nature, you know, every day being tired. Can you correct it?
You can, you know, I mean, granted, I was on medication for a couple of years because, you know, I was actually going to all the endocrinology lectures I could go to. So I was going to where all the endocrinologists were, and I was trying to learn more about diabetes. And what I was learning was what medication to use. So I ended up on 7 different medications. I ended up on insulin after a year. And, you know, by the time I finished, I was taking over 100 units of insulin a day. And I was like, there's got to be something better than this. One, I feel worse. Two, I've gained so much weight. At that point, I was over 260 pounds. I was a size 22. And I was eating 1,200 calories a day, and I was exercising 6 days a week.
And you're like, this is not the way
to
live.
And I was like, this is not the way to live. I'm starving myself. I'm exercising to death, and I'm not losing a weight. I'm still gaining weight. And my epiphany came when I actually, you know, was in the lunchroom with actually my doctor at the time. And I was telling him, you know, I don't know what I can do more to lose weight. This is ridiculous. And he goes, oh, well, you're doing pretty good. Most of my patients gain 20 to 25 pounds from that medication that I gave you. And I'm like, you gave me a drug to make me, you know, control my sugar, my diabetes. And then you tell me to lose weight to control my sugar and diabetes. And you give me a drug that makes me get fat. You know, this doesn't make sense to me. So actually, you know, I kind of started looking a little bit deeper into the system. I've gotten off all the medications. I've been off everything for about 8 years now.
Still. Wow.
My last blood sugar was 76. You know, my last insulin level was 4, which is absolutely perfect. At that point, I was running an insulin level of over 200. And, you know, that's what kind of made me think, if I'm producing that much insulin, why am I taking another 100 units of it?
If you're listening and you are taking this much insulin and you're thinking, okay, this is a death sentence, this is not the way to live, you're wrong. There are ways to better yourself. Maybe not like you to get to that point where you're completely off the medications, but at least improve yourself.
Well, exactly. You know, a lot of times we can get our patients either off of their medications or at least significantly reduce their medications to reduce the risks. And most of the time, you know, it's just giving the body what it needs to control the sugar naturally. You know, we get very depleted in a lot of things that our body needs to control our blood sugar with. You know, and the other thing is you can find diabetes 10 years before it ever happens if you know where to look. When I go back through my records, I can see the process have already started. If somebody told me if I don't stop what I'm doing and correct to this, I'm going to be diabetic in a few years, I might have done a lot of things differently.
And I know the guy out there is listening saying, well, you know, I feel this way and maybe I should get it checked out, but a lot of guys won't get it checked out. We'll just continue to live our lives the way it is. We'll say, oh, well, you know, I'm still walking. You should probably change your habits a little bit, but also exercising. What are ways, if you are feeling like this and you don't want to go to the doctor, how can you just little things to change your diet, exercise a little bit to maybe reverse these?
Well, a couple easy, simple tricks. You know, cut down the volume you're eating. Eat small, more frequent meals to keep your sugar more, you know, steady. You know, eat, you know, a little bit higher protein, less, you know, processed sugars. Try to go to natural stuff. If you want to eat, fine. Cake, eat a real cake. Don't eat a processed mm-hmm. cake. You know, eat real food, not chemically laden food or, you know, all the other stuff that goes with it that kind of blocks our system. Just take some extra magnesium. You know, magnesium is one of the biggest nutrients to help control blood sugar there is. And that is, you know, one of the number one things I'll put patients on. You know, but, you know, vitamin D levels, you know, vitamin D is one of the things that turn on and off the diabetic gene. So we can check those levels out and get that vitamin D level optimized
now,
to help prevent that.
Last week, I made you give us a good simple breakfast. I'm going to put you on the spot again. Give us a simple, just throughout the day, a meal plan, something simple that anybody could use that's a solid meal where you get the essential vitamins that you need. And maybe if you are diabetic, you can help reverse the process.
Well, for breakfast, I usually like to go higher protein because it increases the dopamine and it sets the tone for the day so mm-hmm. it doesn't stimulate the sugar. So you don't want to do the donut or the muffin or something like that for breakfast. You want to do a higher protein meal. So maybe a couple of eggs, you know, even if you want bacon, fine. Have the bacon
Ooh,
with it.
I like this.
I'd rather go like the this. Fat over the actual carbohydrate. A little bit of fruit on the side. So okay. you do need some carbohydrate, so you can't go all protein.
Maybe like an omelet and a cup of fruit.
Omelet with lots of vegetables in it.
And one cup of coffee?
Yeah, a cup of coffee.
Okay, good.
I'm not against coffee in the morning, obviously. If anybody knows me, they know I'm not against coffee.
Just don't load it with sugar.
Yeah, don't load it with sugar. And if you need to use a sweetener, the sweeteners we usually use are going to be monk fruit or stevia because they're all natural sweeteners.
And we always say moderation.
Moderation. If you want a little bit of half and half in there, fine. But don't do half of it, you know, a tablespoon. So it's all in moderation. So, you know, again, for a snack, a little cup of Greek yogurt, bit of fruit.
Now, we just gave breakfast. Now, the snack. What are we talking here? Let's say you have your breakfast when you wake up. 8:30, 9 o'clock. Let's take us through the day here.
So about 2-3 hours later, you want to do a little bit of snack because you want, again, you don't want that drop in sugar that occurs about 3 hours after you eat. So, you know, a little bit of Greek yogurt, a little bit of fruit in it if you want. You know, you can have some, you know, a couple slices, you know, of chicken or a piece of, you know, mozzarella cheese with a little bit of apple.
Something
so
not too big,
Not too big, just a little bit something just to keep you going. So by the time lunch comes up, you're not hungry. or, you know, you've kept your sugar stable.
Yeah, well, you're not starving, because that's a problem a lot of us have, where we will let ourselves starve because we're so excited for that next meal, where you think the hungrier you get, the more fulfilling that next meal is, and then you eat the meal and you can't even finish it.
Yeah, exactly. Or you way overeat, you know, in the process, because you're so hungry, you eat too fast.
All right, so that's your breakfast, your snack. A couple hours later, what were you thinking?
Couple hours later, lunch, you can have some grilled chicken and some vegetables if you want a little bit of a potato. You can turn around, you know, have a salad with some salmon on it or some chicken on it.
Get that protein.
Get that protein in there with some vegetables, you know. And again, if you want, you know, a little smoothie or something like that, fine. You can do that, you know. And then same thing in the afternoon, a little bit of snack, you know, some protein with some either vegetable or fruit.
Similar to before.
You know, or just a piece of fruit, you know. You can do that if you do certain things like apples. Apples actually, even though they're higher in sugar, they have a lot of fiber in them, so they're again fairly stabilizing. The berries are very low glycemic, you know, so strawberries, raspberries, blueberries with a little bit of whipped cream on top if you want.
Ooh, I like it. Now a little dessert. What about dinner? Should you have a bigger meal at dinner?
You can actually have your bigger meal at lunch or dinner.
Okay.
You know, actually, you're better off having your larger meal in the day and having a smaller meal in the evening.
Settle your stomach before bedtime.
Exactly. You know, but again, that's going to be some form of protein, whether it be grilled chicken, whether it be fish, whether it be, you know, steak or whatever. And again, you can have some rice with it, you know, especially wild rice or brown rice or quinoa. Those kinds of things are, again, are more stabilizing to the sugar. Load up on your vegetables. You can eat unlimited vegetables. Vegetables are very, you know, neutral. When you're talking about green beans and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and all that stuff, that's very neutral to your blood sugar.
We're going to get into the conversation, continue the diet conversation, because we're talking about diabetes today on the Dr. Tracy Show. What causes it? Who gets it? If you already have it, what can you do to help yourself? Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy on the Dr. Tracy Show. Plenty more to discuss with diabetes. Like I said, who gets it and how you can treat it. Stick with us here on the Dr. Tracy Show. More about diabetes next. Thanks for joining us today on the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend like we are here. If you want to check out their website, peaksofhealth.com, I'm looking at it as we speak. Fantastic website. It's got everything that we talk about and more. Hormone therapy, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue, all the works. Check it out. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. Very cool offer as well, 15-minute consultation for free if you give them a call. So make sure to take advantage of that free 15-minute consultation, 727-826-0838. And we were talking before about diabetes and the diet to prevent or prevent diabetes, or when you have diabetes, at least control it and make sure you're staying healthy. And we kind of went through the list of what we should be eating, the diet throughout a day, what's a good meal plan. And we kind of gave five meals: breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner. That's five. Is that what we're talking about, five meals a day?
Yeah, usually it's 5 to 6 meals a day, and it's usually about every 3 to 4 hours, you know. And again, the reason for that is we want to keep that sugar and insulin as stable as we can. It's the spikes in insulin that create the problem for us. And again, if we turn around and keep on spiking that insulin, what's going to happen is our pancreas is going to have to keep kicking out more and more insulin. And as we do that, finally those cells get resistant to it. They get sick and tired of hearing from it, so they kind of stop listening. And when that happens, that's where we get insulin resistance diabetes. That's type 2 diabetes.
Now, of course, anyone can eat themselves into diabetes, but a lot of people think that it's genetic, and genetics has a lot to do with it. What part does genetics play in this?
Well, genetics does play a part, because you have to be predispositioned for it. Meaning, you know, your body has – there are some people that no matter what they do, they will not become diabetic. You know, they may get unbelievably obese. And a lot of times you'll see that. You know, you see that person who's 500, 600, 700 pounds.
And you go, they have diabetes.
Yeah, and they won't. They'll have unbelievably good, you know, cholesterol levels. The reason for that is their body can continue to store fat. So it just goes into the fat cells, and that's why they get so big. But a diabetic will shut off that system when the fat system becomes resistant to insulin, because insulin is what tells the body to put that excess into fat. So when the body becomes resistant to that and the fat cell says no way, that's when you stop gaining that fat, and it just all the sugar goes spills into the bloodstream.
Are you still likely, though, to see a diabetic overweight?
Yeah, most diabetics will be overweight. They don't necessarily have to be. We do have some thin diabetics, but most of them will be overweight because they did store a lot of that excess fat. Interestingly enough, when that person switches from insulin resistance to diabetes, they have a tendency to start losing weight because, again, that they can no longer put that sugar into the fat, so the sugar starts spilling out the urine. And that's where, you know, one of the ways we test diabetics is sugar in their urine.
Interesting. Now, I know my grandpa suffered diabetes. My dad does not have diabetes. If your parent has diabetes, or let's say in my case, my grandpa has diabetes, my dad doesn't, what's my predisposition to diabetes? Or is everyone just different?
Well, there are some genetic markers you can look for. We generally don't. We look for other markers in the system. You know, as I said, you can find diabetes up to 10 years before it ever occurs. There are hormones that shift long before the blood sugar ever changes. You can look at a hormone called adiponectin. It is what causes insulin sensitivity in the body, so it starts declining in the body. It's made out of the abdominal fat, and that level will start going really low as the person becomes more insulin resistant. So we can look at that level, and it is the first hormone to shift in diabetes and the last hormone to restore if you reverse it.
Someone wants to get tested for diabetes. They come see you. What do you guys do?
We actually do not only blood sugar levels, we'll do insulin levels. We do what we call hemoglobin A1C. So that gives me an average blood sugar over 3 months. So the person can't like diet the day before and turn around and try to get a good blood sugar. So it gives us a rolling average. We also, if we see any abnormalities in their lipid profile, because we look at that processed lipid profile, the extended one, we'll actually go ahead and run leptin levels, adiponectin levels. So these are, again, going a little bit deeper into the system. So we can see that whole picture. We can get a really good idea of where they are in that process, how far out they are from diabetes, or if we have to, you know, how hard we have to hit that system.
And as I told you earlier, Dr. Tracy and Peaks of Health, they'll give you a free 15-minute consultation if you call 727-826-0838. But better yet, if you want to jump in, check out I've Been There. It's an amazing place to go visit. If you're feeling any of these problems or you have any issues you want to talk about, we've never really discussed it. Where can they find you guys?
We're in Largo at 1120 Belcher Road South. It's right between East Bay and Alberton, right off of Belcher Road.
And like I said, a fantastic facility there. So if you want to go pop your head in, say hello to Dr. Tracy, put a face to the voice, definitely feel free to do so. Now, how does diabetes affect the body? You said you're going to feel tired. What other ways can you tell that diabetes is taking a toll on the body?
Well, diabetes affects every aspect of the system, because remember, your brain, again, runs on sugar. So Alzheimer's is considered type 3 diabetes. It's that interlinked into that disease system. It affects your hormones. Again, insulin is a hormone, so it's going to affect other hormones. It can affect your thyroid and shut your thyroid down. Stress, number two cause of diabetes other than eating, and this is why a thin person can definitely become type 2 diabetic, is stress, because as they're so stressed out, their cortisol levels go really high. Cortisol is one of the hormones that increases blood sugar and insulin. You know, it's a counter hormone to insulin. So that's, you know, and caffeine, again, huge consumption of caffeine. Caffeine is one of the things that increases cortisol production. So that is another link there. So we can actually see a lot of different things when we're looking at that. So we actually go over the person's, you know, diet. We go over their lifestyle. We go over their exercise. We go through over all of that when we're trying to teach them how to fix this.
Do most of your diabetic patients use medications daily?
Actually, most of our diabetics don't use any medication.
That's amazing.
You know, we do have some. There are just some patients, there's no way I can control them. They're, you know, they don't have enough pancreas left to produce enough insulin, so they do need to be on some medications. I rarely will use, you know, there's so many different drugs for diabetes. I'll rarely use the drugs that increase the pancreas to make more insulin, because that's the problem. I look at it differently. I work on it differently. And this is what I kind of learned when I started working on my own system. I stopped paying attention to the blood sugar so much and paid more attention to how the insulin works. So we always try to get our patients more sensitive to insulin, so the insulin that they have works, as opposed to keep on pumping more insulin into them.
And listen up, if you thought you didn't hear that correctly, most of our patients aren't taking any medications for their diabetes. That's so important. I know if you're out there and you have diabetes, you're listening to this and you're pumping your body full of medications every day and you're sick of it, there are ways to wean yourself off those medications and get yourself back and improve your life. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. Dr. Tracy Show, speaking with Dr. Tracy. They can help you. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. Like I said, you'll get a free 15-minute consultation if you give them a call. A lot to continue with this conversation on diabetes. Want to get into different types of diabetes, 1, 2, 3, and whatever other types of diabetes there are that I just don't know about. And Dr. Tracy has all the information. That's why we're here. 970 WFLA, this is the Dr. Tracy Show. More on diabetes next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show on 970 WFLA. Thank you for joining us today. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. The conversation today about diabetes. Before we get back into the conversation, which there's plenty to talk about, you can check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. There's a tab right now that I'm looking at, a diabetes section with everything you need to know. If there's stuff you heard today or even plenty other things that we just don't have enough time to get to, that you can find right there on their website, peaksofhealth.com. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. They give you a free 15-minute consultation, which is awesome. Free 15-minute consultation if you give them a call, 727-826-0838. And we're talking about diabetes, Dr. Tracy, and what causes it, who gets it. Now, let's talk about the types of diabetes. You talked about type 3 diabetes related to Alzheimer's. What's type 1? What's type 2?
Well, type 1 diabetes is when the person no longer makes insulin, meaning the pancreas is no longer working. So they have to have insulin to survive because insulin is what we call primary hormone. What it means is if you don't have that hormone, you die. You know, so that person will have to take insulin the rest of their lives. A type 2 diabetic is when the body's insulin no longer works correctly. The body doesn't listen to the insulin and listen to its signaling anymore. So the sugar can't get into the muscle cell or the energy. So the sugar usually goes into the fat system or into the bloodstream.
So type 1 is not, you're not reversing type 1.
I'm not going to reverse type 1, no.
But if you come in with type 2, there are ways to reverse it. Now, are there ways to maybe help you out and help this, you know, get rid of the symptoms, or are there ways to completely get rid of type 2?
There's ways to completely reverse type 2. And again, it's not about, you know, the sugar. It's about this insulin and the sensitivity. So if you're going to reverse the process, you have to make the cell sensitive to insulin again so that the insulin that they make works again. You know, it's not, and again, lifestyle is going to play a huge role in this because I cannot reverse a type 2 diabetic who still wants to eat, you know, bonbon buns.
Yeah, you have to be, that's huge, Dr. Tracy. You have to be willing to go with the program. It's easy to say, well, this Dr. Tracy, she's going to fix me. No, you have the tools, she can only give you the tools, then it's up to you to use them.
Exactly. And one of the things that we do is we replace the things in the body utilizes to control sugar with. So we naturally control the sugar. You know, we drive the sugar back into the cell where it belongs. So, you know, we kind of correct all those pathways that went amok in the process. But if you don't stop feeding the system such high levels of sugar, there's nothing I can do.
And we had this discussion during the break about, you know, myself. I always relate things to myself, and that's why I'm here. You know this stuff. You're the expert. I'm the layperson. I'm someone that doesn't know these things, but they affect me and everyone else. If you're listening, you know it affects you as well. What do I do to reverse these? You know, exercise, what can I do? Diet is really important. How do I scale back on that diet? It's easy for me to say I have to do it. How do I actually do it?
Well, most of the times, you know, with patients, we got to find out what their lifestyle is. We find out what their, you know, triggers are, what they eat. And then we start going through there. You know, again, you're not going to take somebody who is, you know, drinking 2 liters of Coke a day and going to every fast food restaurant in the place to start, you know, making food every day and be eating healthy.
It's an addiction.
It's an addiction. So again, it's, you know, trying to taper off. Okay, fine. Let's go ahead and lower you from 2 liters of Coke a day to 1.5 liters of Coke this week. Let's try to lower you down to 2. You know, I didn't go cold turkey off of 3 pots of coffee a day and a 6-pack of Diet Coke. I weaned myself down to 2 to 3 cups a day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not something, you know, you go cold turkey on. You know, some people can do that. Most people cannot. So it's modification. It's starting to modify certain things in their diet. You know, get them to go for a piece of fruit instead of an ice cream cone.
Yes.
You know, get them to switch out things every once in a while and, you know, slowly get them to do the process.
And a healthy mix. Maybe there's a substitution. Personally, I don't like water, but I love Coke. Is there a substitution, something maybe in the middle that isn't as bad for you, but it's not as plain and bland as a water, something you can do, a drink that's Gatorade, something
like
that?
Yeah, you can do flavored waters. There's all kinds of, you know, flavor enhancers you can put into your water. You know, we like my husband. He's one who's not into a lot of water, but he'll put Zip Fizz in his water, which is loaded with B vitamins and loaded with nutrients. And that's a good compromise for him. He likes the taste of it, and he's getting a lot of nutrition at the same time.
And you call that a compromise?
I call it a compromise.
I like it. So if you're drinking soda and you want to find that compromise, there's plenty of ways out there. Exercise for diabetes. We've talked about it a little bit. Let's get a little more into it.
And again, exercise, you know, it's very hard to get a 400-pound person to decide to go to the gym. One, it's very uncomfortable for them. Their knees hurt and their joints hurt. But it's also, you know, somebody usually doesn't want to go to a gym at that point. You're not going to get them to. But if you can get them to maybe walk 5 minutes that day, walk 10 minutes the next week. walk 20 minutes the week after that, and slowly start moving their body. You know, it's about movement. We also use infrared sauna in some of our patients. So, you know, say somebody has for reasons why they can't exercise at all, then we can put them in an infrared sauna and it causes them to sweat as if they were exercising. So again, it's a tool we can use until we can get them feeling better where they can get out themselves.
Now, you just named a tool. You obviously have diabetics that come in and you're going to give them treatment plans. Let's talk about weight loss, because that is a significant part of it. What type of exercises, aside from exercise, what other tools do you use to help people lose weight during the treatments?
Well, we actually, you know, not only have a weight loss program in our facility, but we also have a nutritionist, a PhD in nutrition in our facility. So we can actually have them see a one-on-one nutritionist on a regular basis to customize a plan for them if we need to, that can work with them. You know, they don't want to, you know, see me for an entire hour to just go over their diet with mm-hmm. them. So we have, you know, staffing that can actually help them one-on-one with their diet. We have, you know, diet plans. We have recipes. We have ways of putting food together. You know, we show them how to do this so that they can turn around and start making those little changes.
And that's why when I visited Peaks of Health, your facilities there, I loved it, because like you said, you have the nutritionist and it feels like different teams, like you're going to see different squads. You're not going to just go there and get one voice. You're going to get different. You're going to visit different teams and they're going to all, you know, specialize in their area and help you improve your life.
Well, exactly. You know, and it's about, you know, giving them that support, you know, and giving them the literature of, you know, we, instead of just telling somebody to do something, this is what I find is a problem. I have patients come in and it's like, so, okay, you're on this medication. Why are you on it? Well, I don't know. My doctor told me to take it. You know, you have to explain to them why they're going to do something, because if they understand the why, they usually will do the what, you know? So in most cases I'll be going over, or my assistant will be going over with them step by step. This is what she wants you to take. This is why she wants you to take it. And this is what it's going to do for you.
Now, should a person with diabetes be seeing multiple doctors, or should they stick to one doctor? What should be the regimen there?
Well, it kind of depends on what's going on with them. If they have cardiovascular disease, if they have other conditions, they usually should have one doctor that's kind of directing the team. And then, you know, they're specialists in different areas. I'm not a cardiologist. If somebody has a heart attack, I'm going to be sending them to a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. If one of my patients has signs of cardiovascular disease, I'm going to be sending them to a specialist to have that looked at. So it just kind of depends. There should be a team leader, you know, that turn around and starts directing, you know, the traffic. And all the doctors should be able to communicate, you know, because again, this is where you get into trouble sometimes. You know, I don't have that ego that says I can't, you know, talk to that other physician, and let's communicate, you know, okay, I want this patient off this medication and this is why I want them off of it. You know, do you agree, or do we need to compromise here? Because they're very, you know, they might have other information I don't have
yes.
as to why they're on that medication.
Now, how often does it happen where a patient comes in to see you, maybe they're fatigued because you deal with chronic fatigue, and you find out they have diabetes?
That's pretty often. Most of my patients that are coming in, you know, that are having a lot of fatigue issues, they actually do have early signs of insulin resistance. And again, if you think about this, this makes a lot of sense, because sugar is our energy source. It's what creates energy in our body. And without it, we, you know, don't make that energy. And if our sugar is not going into energy and is going into fat instead, then we are not going to make energy. We're also going to have a bigger appetite, which kind of makes it really hard to lose weight. Because again, you know, we forget to tell these diabetics, you know, we tell them to stop eating, but we don't tell them how, you know, how to substitute. And we also don't explain to them their appetites are high because the hormones that control their appetite system are no longer working for them. You know, so how do you tell somebody to cut back and stop eating when they're hungry all the time? You know, so you have to, you know, give them ways to control that hunger and control those hormones of hunger for them, because otherwise, you know, you're just setting them up for failure.
Yep. And all these things Dr. Tracy can do for you, Peaks of Health can do for you. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy on the Dr. Tracy Show. Now, what type of – we were talking about medications, and a lot of your patients don't even take medications anymore. For the patients that do take medications for diabetes, maybe someday they wake up and they feel fine, and they say, I'm not going to take the medication today. They do that on their own judgment call. What would you say about that?
Well, I'd say you always want to talk to your physician before you stop a medication, because there's some of these medications have to be weaned off. They can't be stopped cold turkey. Other medications have rebound effects. You know, and then, of course, you know, if you – stop taking something, you're obviously going to have the problems with your blood sugar. You know, when I take people off medications, I wean them off those medications, and I'm also watching the whole process of how it's happening. You know, because again, that high blood sugar is very dangerous to your body. You know, you don't want to turn around and stop a medication and start spiking your blood sugar, because every time you do, you're damaging your body. You know, so you're actually risking those blood vessels from being damaged.
What are the natural ways that you guys will help control the blood sugar?
We use a lot of things to control blood sugar. The number one thing I usually use is magnesium, because again, when we're talking about turning sugar into energy, most of the initial reactions require magnesium, and you cannot, you know, the actual activator for the energy system is magnesium. So without it, you're not going to activate that energy. So that's really important for blood sugar control. Interestingly enough, two things that lower magnesium the most, carbohydrate eating and stress. Which is what the majority of the population is at some point or another. So most, you know, when they actually test it out, 80% of the American population is deficient in magnesium when they did a study on this. We also use things like chromium. People have heard about chromium.
What is that?
Chromium is an herb. And what it does is it increases, you know, the sensitivity to insulin. So the funny thing is, it's actually, you know, on the actual insulin molecule or the receptor site is chromium. So it opens the door to insulin. So without enough chromium in the body, your body doesn't open its door, so the receptor doesn't work. So what we're doing is we're, again, making the body more sensitive at the receptor site. You know, so we actually give fairly large doses of it onto our patients, and we make sure it's the right kind of chromium, because, again, there's multiple kinds out there, and some of them are damaging to the system in high doses. So you got to make sure if you're going to take high doses of the stuff, you're using a doctor who knows what they're doing.
You may be suffering from diabetes. You may not be. You may be feeling these symptoms and know something's wrong with you. You should definitely go get yourself checked out. Check out for some information. I'm checking out the diabetes tab right now on peaksofhealth.com. Some great information there. You're talking with Dr. Tracy and Aaron Jacobson on the Dr. Tracy Show. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. You'll get a 15-minute free consultation. Plenty more to talk about with diabetes next on the Dr. Tracy Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy talking about diabetes. There's so much to talk about. And Dr. Tracy, as we talked about earlier, it's a subject that's near and dear to your heart. Tell us a little bit, remind everyone a little bit about that.
Well, because I used to be diabetic, you know, about 8 years ago, I was on 7 medications and 100 units of insulin and, you know, really digging deep into diabetes, learning how to reverse that process. So now I'm on no medications.
Used to be diabetic. That's huge. Everyone listen to that. Used to be diabetic. And that's why we're here. Dr. Tracy has had so many things happen in her life that this is her passion. It drove her to learn everything that she knows today. And check out their website where you can learn so much more information, peaksofhealth.com. And if you want to talk with Dr. Tracy, get some more of her knowledge, give them a call, 727-826-0838. There's a free 15-minute consultation if you call. Don't be a stranger. Additional vitamins. What are some additional vitamins people can take if they have diabetes?
Well, again, some of the most important things to take, you know, again, with diabetes to control it, B vitamins, unbelievably important in the stress system and sugar system. You're talking about vitamin D. Vitamin D is huge in diabetes. It helps turn off the diabetic gene, you know, for us. So, again, that's one of the things, you know, every single diabetic that I have that comes in is low in vitamin D, and we need to start pumping those systems up there. You know, we use a lot of zinc. Zinc is really important for blood sugar control, you know, and they get very depleted. And a lot of their medications will deplete these, you know, nutrients in the system. So we have to replace them in much higher doses for them.
And all vitamins we've previously discussed. Now, hormones, something we've also previously discussed. How are they related to diabetes?
Well, hormones are huge in diabetes. Insulin in itself is a hormone. But when we're talking about my men, especially, I don't have one male type 2 diabetic that is not low in testosterone, because it's, you know, one of the things that go hand in hand. The diabetes itself causes low testosterone. And low testosterone is one of the things that will cause type 2 diabetes, because testosterone is the hormone that increases sensitivity to insulin at the muscle cell.
Low testosterone, if you have it, what will you feel like?
Well, again, they're going to be irritable. You know, they're fatigued. They can't sleep. You know, lots of times they get a lot, their muscles, they can't, you know, they get a lot of pain in their muscles. They can't regenerate. They can't repair.
So usually when you hear about low testosterone, though, you hear when it related to sexual matters.
Yeah, but it has to get really low.
Okay.
You know, and again, when we talk, you know, the levels that we require for low testosterone are at the point of sexual dysfunction.
Yep.
But you don't get bone protection and heart protection and brain protection and blood sugar protection. You know, you get that at much lower levels. You know, below 400, that can happen. You don't get sexual dysfunction until you start to get below 300 to 250. So, you know, when we actually, the measurements that they give us are not the measurements that the patient actually needs for optimal health.
So you're trying to build up those testosterone levels.
We actually usually will start replacement on most of our guys with type 2 diabetes of one form or another, whether it's to get their body to start making more testosterone naturally, because we can start stimulate that if it's, that's the reason. Or in some cases, you know, weight loss itself will stimulate more testosterone because that obesity is what actually settles, you know, lowers the testosterone on them. And other people, we just have to do a testosterone replacement on.
All right. So today, since we are talking about diabetes, we always do an in the news, what's making news these days, what's noteworthy. So what's news noteworthy today dealing with diabetes, Dr. Tracy?
Well, I'm always looking for the latest and greatest of what's coming out for this. And this article really struck my attention because this was in mice now. This is not in humans. But they're doing actual transplant of cells from the stomach. And these stomach cells are regenerating and becoming pancreatic cells almost and producing insulin. So they're actually, you know, they call it the mini stomach, you know, transplant. And this, you know, in these mice, they actually got them to start producing insulin again through these stomach cells.
But they've only tested them on mice, not on humans.
No, this is still in the early stages. This is only in mice so far. But, you know, we also have one of the universities is working on what they call a bionic pancreas, too. And that, I, from what I hear, you know, that is, you know, hopefully 5 to 6 years away.
Okay, yeah. Like I was going to say, what do you see in the future? When do you see some of the stuff becoming available and really everything changing?
Yeah, you know, and that's going to be a game changer if they get it done, because these are going to be type 1 diabetics who have no pancreas. And pancreatic transplants have not been unbelievably successful because of the rejection. But this is, you know, actually functioning as a full pancreas, making both hormones.
So let's go down the road. Let's go 10 years down the road. You get the pancreas replacement. Would, if you're a type 1 diabetic, would you not have type 1 diabetes anymore?
No, if the pancreas is doing its job and doing the work. The whole reason you have a type 1 diabetic is because they can't produce insulin. Now, this won't cause insulin production. It causes insulin release just like a pancreas. So you'd have to still fill it with the insulin and fill it with the hormones.
But still, but it's, this is a game changer.
It would be a game changer. It would change their lifestyles completely.
Interesting. Interesting. What else is going on in the news?
Well, we also have, you know, some studies being done on the omega-7s. You know, the omega-7 study has been unbelievable for diabetes. You know, we used to think just inflammation. Now we know, again, it affects insulin sensitivity. It also actually has been shown to really control the sugar, stop the fat deposition. So again, it blocks that fat from being absorbed into the system. It increases the good cholesterol and lowers the bad cholesterol and affects the triglycerides. So, you know, I think that's going to be, you know, now that we can actually separate out the different omega-7s for that specific, you know, anti-inflammatory, that's going to be a game changer. We're using a lot more of it in our practice.
All right, quickly, just to wrap up today, because we've had such an interesting conversation on diabetes, talk about some things people can do if they don't have diabetes, you haven't been diagnosed with anything, but you feel some of these symptoms, and a lot of you will not, you'll refuse to go in and get checked out. Tell everyone some things they can do.
I tell you, the number one problem we have, irritable bowel syndrome, fatigue, everything else is very much diet related. So just kind of really concentrate on eating a healthy diet. You know, feed your body. Think of it as your gas tank. Would you put sugar in your gas tank all the time? It's not going to run. You know, you put junk in your body, it's not going to run well. So, you know, just try to think of it as a machine that needs proper fuel.
Yep. And if you want to get information on what that type of fuel should go into your machine, there's plenty of information, peaksofhealth.com. So much stuff there. Endless material on peaksofhealth.com. Also, give them a call. Talk with Dr. Tracy, 727-826-0838. I promise you she's just as friendly in person as she is on the radio. You'll get a free 15-minute consultation. Also, if you give them a call, 727-826-0838. Treats not only what we talked about today, diabetes, but hormone therapy, Lyme disease, weight loss, chronic fatigue, and a lot of this stuff relates to her personal life and things she's experienced. So endless information. And Dr. Tracy, thank you again. Great show today.
Well, thank you.
And everyone have a fantastic week. Until next time on the Dr. Tracy Show, it's Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy on News Radio 970 WFLA. Have a fantastic week, everybody.